It's interesting because I never thought there would be a day that I would be able to speak in a Michigan jersey, but here we are. Man, this is exciting stuff. Go Blue, am I right? For those of you who are not, I'm sorry on our side. It might be an interesting game next week, or it might not be. We don't know yet, but we'll find out. And we've been walking through this series here at Grace Point, talking about your next step. And as we've been walking through this series, remember it's not a checklist to walk through, but it's more of options for you to explore in your relationship with the Lord. And last week, if you were here with us, we talked about what it means to live in freedom. What does that mean? And if you were here, remember we talked about how our freedom doesn't come from us, but it comes only because of what Jesus did on the cross. There should be an amen there. We are free people, church. We are made to live in freedom. But many of us choose not to because we want to choose ourselves and our own desires. We choose what we want rather than what the Lord wants. And today we're actually going to take a step back and ask ourselves a question we asked last week. Because it's necessary for us to understand the powerful work of the cross. And so the question that we talked about last week, that we're going to just discuss briefly today, is how do free people live in freedom? What does that mean? The truth is that because of Jesus, you and I are free. But because we are sinful in nature, we don't live in the freedom that was purchased by His blood. When we've been looking at this series, we've been looking at a verse in Hebrews, and the writer of Hebrews, he says this, it says, "Since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of the faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The writer here says that we are meant to throw off our sin. That is the very act of living in freedom, to throw off the sin that weighs us down. And the reason is so that we can continue to run the race, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Because Christ set us free to live free. We're made for more than to just be stuck in our sin, in our patterns that we were in before we met Jesus. The truth is that Jesus is supposed to change everything about our life. Jesus is supposed to transform us. Jesus actually tells us this himself. He says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And Jesus here later on says that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. So Jesus is saying, if you know me, you are set free. And then Paul in Galatians, this is where we were last week, he reminds us that, so Christ has truly set us free. And that's such good news. You and I are set free. And then he cautions us. And he says, now make sure that you stay free. And then later on in Galatians 5, he continues with this. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. This is the very essence of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins so we can be forgiven and we can live transformed from our sinful desires by the power of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, all of us have something that trips us up. We all have a weight of sin that we carry. You know, maybe we're addicted to something. Or maybe we have a past hurt that we're unwilling to forgive, or we let it identify us. Maybe we live in a culture of compromise daily, where we say, just this once I'll give in. It won't hurt me that bad. You know, I know tomorrow I can stop. Or maybe we live in the sin of comparison and jealousy, where we make ourselves look really good online, and we make ourselves look really good for our coworkers, like our life is perfect, but on the inside it's not. The truth is that sin is all around us, even though Christ died to set us free from our sin. The truth is that Christ did his part, but you and I have to do ours. You know, there's this thing called repentance. And many of us, we feel this another thing called conviction from the Holy Spirit. It's where we feel this little guilt that we have because of our choices. And that's a good thing. When we feel that conviction, that's from the Lord himself, and he's telling you to do something. But what's more important is that we do something with the conviction we feel. We have to actually repent. We have to turn our lives around. Transformation is the key in the race with Jesus. This transformation is what helps us keep our eyes fixed so that we can run with endurance. Because the truth is, when we turn our backs on Jesus, it's hard to see him if he's behind us when we choose our sin. So what he's saying is we have to throw it off and turn around and run towards Jesus. That's how we are meant to live. And that's exactly what it means for you and I to live in freedom. It's not to carry the sin with us, but to leave it behind, surrender it to Jesus, and walk towards him. So then how do we find freedom? How do we do this? What does it mean to actually live in freedom? I'm glad you asked. So we find freedom through truth with transparency. I just want to take a moment here and define transparency. Because some of us may have an idea in our heads of what we think transparency is. But we might be just a little wrong. I think most of us would say we're pretty honest people. Like, we like to tell the truth. But maybe we don't tell the whole truth always. See, transparency is an openness. Transparency, it's vulnerable. It's this wide open look into our soul. It's a visible window into who we really are. Transparency allows others and God to see exactly who we are at our core. If you would like an example, I think of King David when it comes to transparency. If you know David's story, there's moments of really high highs and great joys, and then there's moments of really low lows and grief and sadness. You know, David was anointed as king. And then David goes into battle, and he has this moment where he kills Goliath, this man who's coming against Israel and is saying, "Who are you? Who is your God? He has no power here." And David says, "No, I come in the name of the Lord of Israel." And he kills him, not by his power, but by the Lord's. David continues to win battle after battle and has song written after him. He's the most popular guy there is. Then he had those deep moments of struggle. There was a moment where he ended up hiding in caves, running from Saul, who became jealous of David. He was lonely. He was desperate. There was the moment where, maybe most of us know David for what he did here, is where he committed adultery with Bathsheba. It was that moment of great weakness. And then he continued in that pattern by killing Bathsheba's husband so that he could have her as his wife. But what's so interesting is when we read in Acts, David is called a man after God's own heart. He's not defined for what he did, but he's defined for who he was at his core. And I believe this is because David was so transparent with the Lord. When we read through Psalms, specifically if you actually read Psalm 51, this is David, the moment that he's confronted by the prophet Nathan. And when Nathan comes to him and says, "This is what you've done," David has this moment of great transparency, and it's in Psalm 51. And what David does is he says, "Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner." He lays it all out there. Says, "God, this is who I am. This is what I've done. This is how I've messed up." He's fully open and honest with God. I wonder if more of us need our relationship with the Lord to be like David's. For us to be completely open and honest with God. For us not just to say a little partial truth, but the whole truth. To be transparent in our relationship. I would say most of us are honest enough to say that I'm not perfect. But we are not transparent enough to fully admit our real struggle. There's a pastor named Pastor Chris Hodges, and he's at Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. And he says this, this is his quote about transparency. He says, "Many people do not find freedom because they are committed to concealing the truth." Now, it may sound silly, may sound weird, but how often have we only prayed a prayer of repentance for a partial truth? Instead of saying, "God, this is exactly what I've done, what I've been feeling, what I've been thinking." Instead of taking the moment to say, "God, I'm really angry at you right now," being fully honest with that. Instead of saying, "God, I chose to do this because I didn't fully trust you in that moment." See, the thing is, when we actually name our sins, when we name our sin and we're transparent about the very thing that we've done, shame no longer gets a foothold in your life. Because you're saying, "Yeah, I did that, but God is greater than what I've done." Transparency wipes out shame. And it humbles us to the point where we get to find the freedom we are meant to live in. And then we get to take the necessary steps to actually walk into freedom. So that we're not back into the same pattern we once were, but we now get to live transformed by what Jesus did. God's plan for us is something that's so powerful and so cool. Because God does everything with intention and with a purpose. Nothing is done by accident. The truth is that even our freedom is done with intention and a purpose. Did you know that your freedom comes with a purpose? Because our freedom comes in the context of relationships. We know that you and I were all relational beings. This is actually from the very beginning of time. When we read through the story of Adam and Eve in creation, we know that we are meant to be created and we have relationships with one another. If you look at Adam, Adam was a lonely dude. And so God said, "All right, I'll give you Eve so you can have someone to be with." You and I, we still need each other. We still need relationships. And these relationships that we have, they strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. Now, I'm thankful in my life I have a group of friends who are willing to hold me accountable and who ask me really, really tough questions. You know, it's funny when we sit down, they usually ask, you know, hey, how are you doing? And, you know, I'll share like, oh yeah, like I've been doing pretty well. We're, you know, settled into our house. Things are unpacked and we're getting adjusted. We're figuring out all the new rhythms. We went out yesterday and explored at a park and we saw all the trees and it was just a great time. And they see through that. They say, Joel, how are you really doing though? Like, what's going on in your core, in your heart? You know, I remember moments when I was in Pennsylvania pastoring there, and it was my first few months, and I happened to come back to Michigan to visit my friend for his birthday. His girlfriend at the time, who's now his wife, flew me back so I could be with him for his birthday, and we had this moment where they were like, hey man, how are things going? And I got to share with them all the exciting things I got to do and how I went to see the Liberty Bell like 6 times because that's what you do when you're in Philadelphia. It's not. There's a lot more to do there, but that's the only thing I did because that's all I knew about Philadelphia at the time. So I had this moment where we were just sitting by the pool and he goes, so how are you really doing? I remember I told him, I said, man, it's pretty lonely. It was the first time I actually left my house, leaving home in Grand Rapids. I went to a place where I knew nobody and had no one there. I wasn't married at the time to Andrea. I said, man, it's really hard. It's really lonely. And on his birthday, my friends gathered around me, were loving me and prayed for me simply because I was transparent and honest, and they were willing to ask me those questions. You know, we may be honest with each other and say, yeah, there's no real fires that we have to put out at the moment. But are we transparent enough to say, hey, this is where I'm really struggling? And what's so cool about these relationships that we have is that after that moment, I got to then go to the Lord. And I got to then go to him and say, God, would you bring me someone? Would you bring me a friend? Would you bring me a partner for my life? God, would you help me not to feel what I'm feeling right now? See, those relationships bring us into the freedom we're meant to walk in. And that freedom comes when we're transparent with the Lord. And Paul even reminds the church this in Galatia, that we are called to live in freedom, but we are not meant to use that freedom for our own sinful desires. Then watch what he says. He says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourselves. Think about that just for a moment. You are free so that you can serve one another in love. You know, I know sometimes we talk about sin, how we're freed from our sin, and it can feel like a don't do this, don't do that type of feeling. But what if instead of saying don't do this, we viewed our freedom as entering into the joy of our purpose, of finding out that we are meant to find love in our relationships, not just with God himself, but also with others. Pastor Rich Viodas of New Life Fellowship Church in New York, he asked this question on a social media page this week, and I thought it was fantastic. He says, what if at the end of time, God doesn't ask, what did you abstain from? But what if he asks us, how did you enter into the joy that was available to you? I want to reframe that question for us today. What if he asks, the end of time, not what did you abstain from, but how did you use your freedom to serve one another in love? And when we continue to read Paul's letter to the church, he speaks about how we are meant to love one another gently, how we're meant to carry one another's burdens, how we're meant to humbly help one another, not thinking more of ourselves. We can only do this when we live in the freedom that is purchased by the blood of Christ. And when we know what our purpose is, to serve one another in love. As Pastor Wes and I were preparing the messages for this week, because he's at St. John's speaking, something very similar, I hope. We both realized something we never realized before. That there's a pretty well-known collection of verses in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. You might know them. They're known as the fruit of the Spirit. The thing we never realized was where they're given in Scripture is in the context of relationships. Before this, he talks about our freedom, how we're meant to be free. And then afterwards, it says, so use these things to live empowered by the Holy Spirit in your relationships. You know, the fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're listed in the context of living in the freedom of the Spirit in our relationships. That's because the fruit of the Spirit is meant to be evident in your relationships. We're meant to serve one another in love. We're meant to have joy and be at peace with others. To be patient and to be kind to one another. To display the goodness of God in our relationships. To remain faithful and loyal to each other. And by the power of the Spirit, we're able to live gentle in a life of self-control. Have you ever heard the statement, you know, there's just something different about that person? Maybe your own story starts that way, your testimony, where you came to faith because you noticed something different about a family member or a coworker or a friend. The fruit of the Spirit is what makes us different. This is what it means to use our freedom to serve one another. It means for us to set ourselves to the side and to put others first. That's what we're meant to do with our freedom. I love the Passion translation of Scripture when it comes to the reading of the fruit of the Spirit, because it says something so powerful, and so I just want to read it to you today. It's not on the screen, but this is what it says. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. It's a joy that overflows. It's peace that subdues. It's patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. You have faith that prevails. There's a gentleness of the heart. And there's a strength of the Spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. I don't know about you, but I would love for my life to be described in that way. That I have a joy that overflows. He has a peace about him that just subdues. There's a patience that endures. He's kind, and we know that because of his actions. His life is full of virtue, and his faith will always prevail. He's gentle in his heart. That's possible. We can live and be described that way when we enter into the freedom that God has for us. And that comes through truth and transparency. And then we get to live in our purpose, which is to love one another. Today we're going to close our time here with just a moment of worship. And as we enter into this time, we're going to sing a song all about who God says you are. And this is done on purpose, because it needs to be a reminder of who God says we are, that we are chosen, we are not forsaken, we are freed from our sin. You are loved. Use this as an anthem for your week. Let it be a reminder that God sent his son Jesus for you and for me, so that we can live in our purpose. And remind yourself of who you are in Christ. So I'm going to pray for us. And church, I ask that you would stand and join us in a moment of worship. Would you join me in prayer? God, thank you that you did send us Jesus. And God, that you say that we are chosen, we are not forsaken, that we are forgiven. God, that you tell us we are loved. And so, Lord, as we enter into this time of worship, would it just be a reminder and an anthem we carry with us the rest of our week? God, that we would use who we are in you to serve one another in love. And God, by the strength of your Spirit, would the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our lives? God, thank you for who you are and for who you say we are. Help us to live that this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.